This is the Paralympic Station.
BBC Radio 5 Live.
And we'll be back in the middle of the action very, very soon. Good morning, it's Stephen Nolan on 5 Live. The days of squatting are over. At least that's what a new law coming in at midnight for England and Wales says.
It was a long time in coming for homeowners and landlords. They perceive it that a property has been stolen from them, and that previously they've had to go to court and it's cost them £1,000. It's been very distressing. So for homeowners, it's a good time that the law has come in.
Slamming the door in the face of the squatters. That's how the government is putting it, ending the idea of squatters' rights once and for all. But some campaigners claim it won't change a thing.
It's already a criminal offence. New law does not help these cases in any way. There's 700,000 empty properties in the UK, and the other thing is homelessness rates are rising in the middle of one of the worst housing crisis countries ever seen.
So let's hear from you today. Maybe you've been a squatter yourself. Maybe you've been affected by squatters. 0500 909 693. The text 85058. Let's get the news first of all. Here's Claire.
From tomorrow, squatters in England and Wales could face up to 6 months in prison and a £5,000 fine. The government says it's changed the law to protect homeowners. Homeless charities warn it could be abused by unscrupulous landlords. Here's the Justice Minister, Crispin Blunt.
We want to make it absolutely clear that squatting is illegal, you're criminally liable and you're criminally responsible for anything that happens in someone's home whilst you take it over. And so it shouldn't be in the grey area of what's a civil offence and what's a criminal offence. It's straightforward wrong.
Disability rights campaigners are ending a week of protests against the Paralympic sponsor Atos. The IT firm carries out the government's Fit to Work tests for incapacity benefit claimants. Roger Lewis is from Disabled People Against Cuts.
We know that people who have been through the Atos assessments unfortunately have died as a result. Some have committed suicide, some have been driven to an early death. It's been well researched through a parliamentary group of MPs that have been doing this, looking at coroner's reports where the work capability assessments have been cited as a contributing factor. So we're pushing Atos on a number of different fronts, as well as the direct action that we're going to be engaged in today.
Atos says it provides a highly professional and compassionate service, and all decisions on people's benefit entitlements are made by the Department of Work and Pensions.
On digital and online.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Now, Victoria Derbyshire. Weekdays 10 till 12. Call 0500 909 693. Calls are free from most landlines, but some networks and mobile operators will charge. Text 85058. Text will be charged at your standard message rate.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
It's Stephen sitting in for Victoria today. It's 12 minutes past 10. It's opening day of the Paralympic Rowing Regatta. We'll be going to that very shortly indeed. The big news story today is squatting. From tonight, squatting becomes a criminal offence in England and Wales. Previously, it's been treated as a civil matter where homeowners, including councils and housing associations, have to go to a civil court to prove the squatters have trespassed before they can be evicted. Now, from midnight, it'll become a criminal offence with a maximum penalty of 6 months in jail or a £5,000 fine. In Scotland, squatting is a criminal as well as a civil offence. It means you could face a fine and a prison sentence if you're caught. In Northern Ireland, it's classed as a civil offence. The Housing Minister, Grant Shapps, says he's amazed that squatting isn't already a criminal offence. He says, I'm calling it slamming the door in the face of squatters once and for all, banishing the concept of squatters' rights. Now, very interested to hear from you today. Maybe you've squatted yourself. Maybe you've been at the wrong end of squatters. 0500 909 693. The text 85058. Let's have a listen to the Justice Minister, Crispin Blunt, who was explaining the change of law on 5 Live Breakfast this morning.
Why should it be the responsibility of the homeowner to evict someone from their home? It's as simple as that. The position is rather unclear at the minute. For it to be a criminal offence today, the homeowner's got to make a request of the people who are squatting in their home to leave. Well, we think the act of squatting itself should be illegal and criminal, and it will be made criminal tomorrow, and you will not be able to squat in residential property without therefore feeling the full force of the law, and we will expect the police then to properly enforce it.
So that's the Justice Minister, Crispin Blunt. So we're talking about squatting this morning. It'll become a criminal offence in England and Wales from tonight, from midnight tonight. Pete lives in a squat in London. He doesn't want us to use his surname. Hello to you, Pete.
Hello, yes, hi.
Hello there. Why do you do it?
I squat because I'm a self-employed person on a low income. I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing in this city if I wouldn't be able to live in this city, basically, were it not for the fact that I live. We open up derelict buildings and we turn them into spaces where people can live and be creative. I don't see anything wrong with that.
And do you care who the owner of the property is?
We know who the owner of the property is, and like all squatters, we try to start a dialogue with them and tell them that we will be out when they want us to get out, and that we want to respect the building and hand it over when they want it. Often these buildings are waiting demolition. I was just listening to the Minister Crispin talking about criminals, and I don't think this man has ever stepped in to a squat in his life. Otherwise, he would know the reality of what it is. I'd like to talk about what's criminal. I think what's criminal is the fact that people are sitting on properties for up to 20 years, 30 years at a time, speculating them on them, leaving derelict buildings in the middle of communities, and are registering these buildings in tax havens. The last two squats I've lived in London, have been owned by people who have registered them in Liberia, which is a tax haven.
Ah, you started off just a couple of minutes ago, and the inference was that you respected the person who owned the building and you'd open a dialogue with them, and if they wanted you to go, you would go. And now you're revealing that the last two squats you're in, you object to how the people were handling their investments.
I object to how people who leave buildings empty for many, many years so they can speculate on them. I respect his wishes, ultimately, if he wants to get us out, and that's why it becomes a civil matter. We go through the courts and we deal with it. But to be honest, there's a big misconception we have to talk about, which is the idea that when Romanians break into your house whilst you go on holiday, that is squatting. That is not squatting. That happens in a fraction of 1% of squatting.
That is
already illegal.
I'm just slightly confused, Pete, and I want you to talk to some landlords in a second or two. But when you say that you respect the owner's wishes to get you out, why do you demand then that they go through court? When they ask you to leave, why don't you leave? Why does it have to go to court?
Because it's a civil matter. Because otherwise, if you make it a criminal matter, if you give police powers to throw people out of housing.
It would only need to go to court if you didn't leave when asked.
Well, often that does happen.
So you would do that, would you?
We would. It depends on the case. It depends on the case. In a place where you've got a tax dodger who owns loads of properties, then I'm not sure that it's necessary for people to leave. Or if the building is being demolished anyway, I'm not sure that it's necessary for people to leave. Most squatters try to start a dialogue with the people who own the buildings, a constructive dialogue.
And you work,
most
do you?
Most squatters you work, do good Pete. Things with the space, and the neighbours love them. In most cases, my experience, most squatters have open days. Bring people in. You know what I mean? It's not like we're not like
most squatters. Did you just say most squatters? You just said most squatters have open days. Is that what you said?
I mean,
open days.
Reaching out to the community is an essential part of what squatters do.
Well, Jackie is a landlord. Let's let Jackie speak to you this morning. Morning, Jackie.
Morning. I mean, my case is quite very different to the one we've just been discussing.
What do you think when you're listening to Pete, though?
Pardon?
What do you think when you're listening to Pete?
Well, I'm disgusted, but I have got a very different sort of case with myself. I invested all my savings in a brand new apartment in December, got tenants in, and for some unknown reason, I have no idea why, they're not paying any rent and haven't been since April. And we've no communication with them or anything, and I've now had to take lengthy court proceedings, which has taken nearly 2 months, and will probably go on now until nearly December.
Did you not have an agreement, a lease agreement?
I had a lease agreement, so they've actually committed fraud. They signed an agreement for a year, and they haven't stuck to it at all. And any attempt to speak to them is met with vile abuse. And so now we can't go down that road anymore. We've just got to go to court.
That's awful.
Whatever court case that's going to cost me. And that's it. I haven't had a penny since April.
And they're claiming squatters' rights, are they?
Pardon?
They're claiming squatters' rights, are they?
in a way, I suppose. I've no idea. I mean, I know it's
fine. You don't know. Jackie, can I say that that is awful, what happened to you? And these people have just been spat in your face. I think that's terrible. I think what we have to be careful, though, is that is a tiny fraction of what squatting happens. Most of the time, when squatters go into a building, they're very careful about their place, in the community, and their legal position, and they want to make links with the owners, and they want to say, look, okay, what's the situation? How can we all come off winners? How can we turn an empty building into a space where people can live, and then give it back to you when you need it? This is the majority of cases.
What's the difference now, Pete, in the home you're in, and you don't want to pay any rent, and the people who are potentially
any rent? It's about people who can't pay rent.
Right. Well, you're not paying rent. What's the difference in the people who you say you have sympathy with? Jackie, she has got people in her house. She's trying to rent her property, and they don't want to pay rent either.
Yeah, I mean that's
what's the difference?
There's a big difference, because often most squats are in non-residential properties. And we have to make this distinction, because that's being made residential. Squatting in residential properties is being made illegal, not non-residential
properties.
That's right. Now, most squats are in residential, non-residential properties, where people go in and they're not people's homes. They're not just about to be bought or sold. They are being speculated on. They've been derelict for many, many years. And the neighbours often come out in their droves and say, thank you for opening up this space. Thank you for turning this into a beautiful space where people can live and people can come and do things in. And that is very different, I think, to the case where Jackie is in now.
It's not different.
Which is unfortunate.
And it's not different. Is it Jackie speculating? Jackie is speculating. Jackie's speculating. It's an investment, Jackie, right?
I'm renting out
a property.
It's all my savings. I'm retired, so that's all I have to live on, apart from a small pension. Yeah. And, it's just outrageous.
That's not okay. And what happened to you is not okay, Jackie. And those squatters are giving squatting a bad name. Now, if there's been a dialogue...
I'm not a charity, so if these people have problems, shouldn't they be going to the certain departments to get help? And not why should I be doing it?
Absolutely. Get in contact with those squatters. Tell them your situation. Put it in a letter. They may leave of their own accord.
They've been given a notice to quit.
Which get them out. I totally agree.
I'm doing everything by the book. I've given them a notice to quit. They should have gone on the 9th of August, and they ignored it. Now I've had to do court proceedings. My gripe is the fact that we have to give so much notice for each stage of the proceedings, and to my mind, that's totally wrong.
But of course, Jackie, from midnight tonight, the law now changes. Mm. So you're in a residential property.
Buildings.
You've got a residential property, Jackie. Mm. If these people are defined as squatters, you can call the police.
Yeah, I mean, I know my case is very different, and I call them squatters because that's what I regard them as. But whether my case would be seen the same is another thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we have to be careful if we give police powers to go in and use it often politically, I have to say, and throw people out of spaces, maybe because they're having banner making workshops.
What is so bad? You wouldn't believe I'm not even allowed to go down and ask them why they haven't left my property. I'm the owner, but I can't go anywhere near them or contact them at all because that's classed as harassment.
It must
be classed as harassment. I'm not sure. I mean,
I've been told by the law and legal people.
It must be incredibly frustrating, Jackie.
Pardon?
It must be incredibly frustrating.
Jackie, can I just say, Jackie, I have absolutely every sympathy for you, and I think I think that's really terrible, your situation. I don't know of any squatters, and I know a lot of squatters, who, having opened a dialogue with the owners and found out their situation, and if they found out your situation was as it is, they would move out immediately. They would find somewhere else.
What's the situation?
Well, they've got anywhere to go, doesn't it? I mean, you'd be surprised how these people are protected by law. You would be surprised. It's not until you buy somewhere that you will find out, unluckily you would find out.
Jackie, thank you very much indeed. Good morning to you. Paul Champolina is the founder of Landlord Action. Morning to you, Paul.
Morning. I've been chomping at the bit to try and come in and give a bit of guidance and clearance as to the last two callers. What Jackie's clearly got is she's got a problem with a tenant. Those tenants aren't squatters. It's a completely different scenario that's come in. And obviously at Landlord Action, we deal with hundreds of cases of problem tenants up and down the country for landlords that have tenancy agreements with tenants. The squatter situation is a little bit different. I heard what Peter said, who said that he opens dialogue up with homeowners. We've dealt with many squatter situations where at present, as of today, you have to go to court and apply to a court and get a possession order against the squatters. Most squatters that we've had actions against, even if you have dialogue, they won't just leave voluntarily. You have to go to court. And dare I say it, that not all homeowners are big, wealthy, billionaires like the Duke of Westminster. They're people exactly like Jackie, whereby, we had one scenario where a lady was renovating a property that she had one property, and squatters saw that there was a skip in the driveway, and they broke into the property. It had only been vacant for 2 weeks, and we had to go to court. Obviously, the new law relates to residential properties only.
So you must be welcoming the government's news today.
Well, yeah, I think there's a big broader issue. It's about enforcement. I mean, the problems as to why people squat is because, there's a shortage of affordable housing. There's massive council waiting lists. There's caps on benefits. There's job losses, unemployment. And there is a big problem with empty homes. I mean, supposedly there's, 730,000 empty properties in the country. And all those underlying problems are why people squat. But the situation is I think something had to be done for the homeowner, and it's not just black and white, and that there's been these empty properties sitting around for 20 years and nothing's been happened. Yes, that is happening, but on a lot of the scenarios that we deal with, it's just dealing with everyday people that have got a property that they're renovating or had to move out, or they've gone travelling or whatever, and we've had to issue proceedings. So yes, we do welcome the move, but it's about how the police are going to enforce it, of course.
Well, listen, we're going to hear from people who are living and working with squatters. Hopefully we'll hear from squatters and those people who have been upset set by them too. 0500 909 693 on the phones. Pete, maybe you'll stay with us this morning. Paul, stay with us too, and we'll come straight back to this. It's 10:29.
On digital radio, digital TV, mobile and online.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
10:32. Here's Claire with the news.
From tomorrow, squatters in England and Wales could face up to 6 months in prison and a £5,000 fine. The government says it's changed the law to protect homeowners. Homeless charities warn it could be abused by unscrupulous landlords. Disability rights campaigners are ending a week of protests against the Paralympic sponsor Atos. The IT firm carries out the government's fit to work tests, for incapacity benefit claimants. Atos says all decisions on people's benefit entitlements are made by the Department of Work and Pensions.
It's 22:11. We're talking about squatters today. Pete is a squatter. He's squatting in London. Hello to you again, Pete. We'll see if we can get Pete back very shortly indeed. Paul Champolina is still with us, the founder of Landlord Action. We're looking to hear from you today, 0500 909 693. Edward Bauer and Kat Fraser both live and work with squatters in Birmingham. Edward, morning to you.
Good morning.
Morning, Edward. Morning, Kat.
Morning.
Good morning, good morning. Well, Edward, what's your reaction to the government's news that they're to change the law from midnight tonight? It'll become a criminal offence in England and Wales to be a squatter in a residential property.
I'm intensely sad and incredibly angry. I think we need to put some sense of perspective on this entire debate. Like, there's about 2,000 to 3,000 people living homeless in Birmingham. Most of them are squatting. There's also 26,000 people on the waiting list for council homes, and there's an estimated shortage of social housing of about 11,000 homes as well. It's getting really hard for people to keep a roof over their head, and people need to squat just to keep alive. Basically, the average life expectancy of someone living rough on the street is about 42 years. If people aren't going into abandoned buildings because they've got nowhere else to go, they will literally die. And because of this law, it's going to criminalise the very means that homeless people need to live. It's criminalising being homeless, effectively, and people will die, and it's really, really sad.
And just to be clear, therefore, do you have sympathy with those people we hear from who they leave their home to go off on a holiday, they go abroad, they come back, and someone is in their home? Do you think those squatters should leave immediately? I'm talking obviously about buildings which are not long-term empty.
Of course, I've got absolute sympathy with them. You have to be inhuman not to. What I'm angry with are the banks and the property speculators who are simply sitting on large amounts of property. They're not investing in it, and the housing market, despite there being such a big demand for new housing, is simply not building. And I'm also angry with the government because they're not building new social housing, but we badly need. I talked to some stats earlier about the amount of houses we already need in Birmingham, but we're also projected in the next decade to need another 70,000 homes just to meet the rise in population. So unless new homes start getting built by a decade's time, we're going to need 100,000 new homes in Birmingham. Where are people going to stay? I'm angry for homeowners, and I'm angry for the homeless and everyone else. It's awful.
Let me read this text to you from Bill in Cambridge. He was talking about Pete, who was another squatter who was on earlier on, and he said, this man's talking rubbish. The vast majority of squatters couldn't give a monkey's about the property and its owner. To try to claim they do this for some type of greater good is absolutely outrageous. Getting something for free is what it's all about, plain and simple. When we have to work our whole lives to get a home together, this makes me so angry.
Yeah, well, I think, to be honest, the guy you had on earlier was actually talking rubbish. Most squatters aren't liberal artists living in London, opening their houses up to the community. They're doing it because they're homeless. They're the invisible, most vulnerable people in our society, and they need to do it, otherwise they're out on the street. I very much doubt you'll manage to get one of those on the programme this morning to talk about the circumstances in their lives that have driven them to that level of desperation that means they have to go into some abandoned property just to keep a roof over their heads.
The property, says another text, it belongs to someone else. End of story. Squatters are freeloaders, and until now they've been above the law. They should pay their tax, pay their rent, and stop preying on the rest of us.
Well, that's absolutely ridiculous. The current law is, if you're a landlord, you have to apply for a possession order. You can get one of those within 24 hours. The squatters are straight out. If they stay beyond them, they're committing a crime. Right now, though, with this new law coming in, all that's going to happen is the police are going to come around the house, see a bunch of homeless people sleeping in it, perhaps even arrest them, and maybe even put them into prison. And that's not going to help anyone get their life back on track.
It's going to help the landlord.
Record for being homeless.
It's going to help the landlord.
Yeah, but it helped the landlord, but people will actually die because they're going to get thrown out onto the streets. They need somewhere to stay. Unless the government takes its responsibility seriously, what's going to happen to the thousands of people squatting in Birmingham now? Are the police going to turf them out onto the street? There's not the hostels for them to go into. There's nowhere for them to go.
But the landlords are not charities. They're not charities.
They might lose. Come on, put this in perspective here.
What do you mean, come on? It's their homes. It's their homes. It's their property. It's for the government to look after people who cannot afford a home, who genuinely cannot afford a home. And it's not for a private investor.
Yeah, I'm really angry at the government and at the banks. I feel sorry for the homeowners. They've been thrown into the situation because they've been let down by both the market and the property market and of course, the government. But the answer is not now just to throw people out into the streets and make them criminals and to arrest them. That's just simply not the answer.
Line, Paul Champolina?
Yeah,
you're the founder of Landlord Action. You're representing landlords today. Really.
Yeah, I actually met Ed and Kat this morning, actually, because I was doing some filming at their squat. I think a lot of what Ed is talking is sense to a certain extent, but it still detracts from the fact that it's someone else's property, and in most eyes, it's effectively stealing. You can't classify an empty property with the same brush that it's like I said to you before, it's a big landlord and they're not going to miss the money and it's empty. We have a massive social problem which obviously the government have got to get to grips with, and I think obviously the enforcement procedure for landowners and landlords is going to be better so they get their property back quicker. But Ed talks about, it's easy to go to court and get a court order. Well, getting a court order can cost £2,000-£3,000, and it can take in fact two to possibly 3 months.
Let me come back to this in just a second. Let me come back to this in just a second, guys, because Kat is with us this morning. Kat, morning to you.
Morning to you.
Morning to you, Kat. Now, you live and work with squatters in Birmingham. You live with squatters, so you are a squatter, is that right?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Okay, and what type of house is it?
It's an abandoned house on a park that's been empty for longer than any of the neighbours can remember. And what we've done is we've taken over the abandoned house, which is council-owned, and we're looking to make it the first of a new stock of homes in Birmingham and making it livable and then handing it over to somebody who's homeless who doesn't necessarily have the skills to be able to put the house in place so that we can take them off the streets and do that. And that's something that we feel that the council isn't doing enough of. you know, the numbers of homeless people since 2009 and the recession has gone up by 25%. And the council spending, of course, because councils have to cut their spending, it's hard times, has gone down by 29%. And I think with all of the changes happening with the local housing allowances, it's just going to cause for real problems. And you've got to think of who's squatting and why they're squatting rather than arrest them.
So you own a home elsewhere, do you?
I rent a house elsewhere, and I work with some of the people who don't have a house and also working in the squats. So volunteering my time, in effect, to increase the quality of life of people who don't necessarily have those chances themselves.
You rent the house elsewhere?
Yes, I do.
Why don't you give your house away for free?
Why? I actually do. I have people living in my house you know, whenever they need to come and stay, because so I think that's really important, is to act as a community and work together to try and resolve
rather than putting
the law ahead of, you know, people's lives.
So you don't rent your house for money?
Of course I do, yes.
You do? But why do you not rent it for free? I think it's irrelevant to the point about my personal situation. Well, it's not irrelevant though, Kat, is it? It's not irrelevant.
People who are homeless on the streets, you know, there are 3,000 people homeless on the streets, and the councils count homeless figures of people living on the streets.
Sure.
As soon as you make it illegal for those people to squat, they have absolutely no choice but to either be a criminal or to live on the streets. The government themselves have not even put proper estimated figures into how much it's going to cost. The Guardian said it's going to cost £790 million in the first 5 years because of all of the housing benefit take-up and the homeless rehabilitation. A lot of squatters are actually very much under the system and not costing as much money as the government thinks.
The reason I asked you the personal question, Kat, is because I think it's relevant in that if you believe that you are entitled to go in and take a council house that you don't own and allow people to live in that for free, why do you not follow the same principle in your personal life and allow squatters to live in your home for free? You're renting your home on a private basis and wanting money, and you're asking the council and others to essentially give it away for nothing.
The council have got it empty. It's completely, completely run down, and the houses are falling apart. And what we're doing is stopping that, halting it, making the council recognise that there are houses that are being decrepit that can be rescued, and actually they're trying to invest in building new properties when there's a lot of properties already existing that are completely wasted. And it's that waste that is totally unacceptable, and the law is just going to increase the waste and mean that there's going to be even more empty properties, which is absolutely scandalous.
But maybe the council can't afford to refurbish the property.
Well, the council actually, as soon as we went into the property this week, have announced that actually they're going to be investing some money into doing the regeneration of the properties. So actually what we have been doing is working, because the council have instantly recognised and had to answer to us and put some money aside. The problem is, of course, council processes take an awful long time. They've got 11,000 properties. How much paper pushing does that take?
It's a principle of ownership, this, Paul Champlina, isn't it?
It's not about the principle of ownership. It's about the squatters. It's trying to get evict squatters. And you've got to think about who the squatters are and what they're doing it for. Actually have no other choice. And it's the people, you know, I have a choice. I can live in a house. But there are lots of people who don't have that choice.
I think in this instance, with regards to the squats, because I saw the squat today, I think it's really a cry out to the council. It's really a petition, if anything, because maybe one or two people there living there full time. The rest of the people lived elsewhere locally, and then they were just doing shifts with regard to the squat, so that the council, Birmingham Council, can stand up and look at the problem in that area with regard to the empty properties they have. And I understand why that drastic action has happened to a certain extent, but you know, you're dealing with you're talking about the council, but it is about private ownership, and again, it comes down to that small landlord, that small homeowner. That do get massively affected.
Let's come back to our squatting debate this morning. 0500 909 693. Jerry's in Inverness. Sherry's in London. Hello, Sherry.
Hello.
Hello, Jerry.
Hello there.
Hello there. Go ahead, Sherry. You first. What's happened to you?
Well, we had a property that we were renting for over 15 years. It was actually my father had it, and to a family, single parent family, and they lived there for 15 years quite happily. They went away for a week, and squatters came into their house while they were away, and trashed the house, stole all their property, even the freezer and their food, what they didn't want. They threw out into the garden, the back, all their family photographs and everything, and it was awful. So we did call the police, and the police came, And
let me guess, the police said it was a civil matter.
Well, actually, we were very lucky, apparently, from what I've been told. The police, we just spoke to them for 5 minutes, explained family were there, we told them what happened, and they went in and they said to the squatters that who were saying that they had a tenancy agreement and, you know, and whatever, which was all lies. They said, well, no, you're not tenants. These people are tenants. You don't belong here. You have to leave. And they left.
Ah, well, you were lucky, Sherry, weren't they?
So we were very lucky, according to lots of people.
Yeah.
But the family, the poor family, they were so traumatised by everything. They were too scared to go back into the house.
Well, look, here's where the law stands at the moment. Obviously, we're talking about this today because the law's going to change tonight. But at the moment, squatting is treated as a civil matter. And what you've got to do if you're a homeowner, and that includes councils and housing associations, you've got to go to a civil court and you've got to prove that the squatters have trespassed before you can actually get them evicted. Now, the law will change from midnight tonight. Yeah. It'll make squatting a criminal offence. It means that squatters could face jail of up to 6 months, a fine of up to £5,000. The ministers are saying that this will slam shut the door on squatters once and for all.
Well, it just, when I was listening to your radio and listening to squatters, I understand what they're saying. But, I mean, this is another poor family. It's just a single-parent family.
Yeah.
And they were thrown out, which is essentially their home. I mean, I know it's our property, but they've been renting it for 50. It's a family home. And they've been so traumatised that they're now homeless, actually, because they're scared to go back into the house in case these people come back in.
Sherry, thank you for telling us your story today.
House.
Let me hear yours, Jerry. Morning to you, Jerry.
Well, I squatted for, I don't know, 22 years in London, and I think that this, what you're calling a law, by the way, it's not a law. Statutes and acts are not laws, and the BBC constantly pumps out disinformation like that. Statutes and acts are not laws. This government doesn't, you know, common law is law. This is, they're trying to make it a criminal offence.
Well, it will become a criminal offence tonight.
Only by consent. If you get arrested, you have to consent and contract with the police and contract with that kind of statute and act. And if it's persons unknown, which all the squatting cases I was involved in have been persons unknown can't be subject to a specific statute or act. But that's complicated law. Let's not go down that route.
Well, Jerry, let's actually get into the detail of it, because I think it's good for us all to be informed about this. The Ministry of Justice has actually issued guidance for the police and other law enforcement agencies on the new offence, which will come into effect tonight. And here's what the police must prove. They must prove that a person knowingly entered a building as a trespasser and is living or intends to live in it.
That's right. And when you say person defined within the law, do you know what person defined within law or person in legal speak means?
Well, you tell me.
Well, I'll tell you. It means that you have to agree and consent to being that person by giving your full name and address, right? Now, any decent squatter or free man on the land or anarchist will not do that. What we'll say is we're persons unknown or we're commonly known as Jerry, for example. But anyway, that's our legal fight. We'll do that. But on the bigger issue, I say I've got no sympathy for landlords, no sympathy for empty properties. And a lot of squatters are actually anarchists and social revolutionaries, and the way we look at it is that these people, this is the rich against the poor as usual, and you've got the millionaire cabinet of Cameron attacking the poor yet again.
Do you have sympathy for the lady you just heard from?
No, I don't.
Hold on a second. She's not a multimillionaire.
No.
Her home is left free, empty, for a week or two. She comes back and some people have gone into her home, taken her stuff out of her home, and are now occupying her home.
Well,
you don't have sympathy?
Have I got sympathy for the tenant? Yeah, if it's a tenant...
No, have you got sympathy for the homeowner?
The homeowner, right, okay, a business person, a landlord who rents out a property for 15 years for profit, profiting out of poor people who can't afford a home, Right. No, I don't have great sympathy for wealthy landlords. To me, if you can afford to own a house and then own another house or several houses, and some of the people we deal with have hundreds of houses, hundreds of properties, they have millions and millions of pounds of property portfolios. It's a scam. The poor people in this country, there are so many thousands of people homeless.
But you're talking about the extremes here, Gerry. I'm trying to get you to engage with me, not at the extremes, and there are arguments against you with the extremes as well. The multi-millionaire property developers are entitled to do so within law. But let's leave the extremes to one side. What about those people who are trying to make a living for themselves, who are trying to be prosperous, who are possibly trying to have a home for their children in the future, and they buy a second home and they rent it out? And they're maybe not on massive money. They're trying to do the right thing within their income.
I think, you've got a point about the differentiation between squatters and bad tenants or strange people. I heard of a Polish gang broke into a house and they took it, you know, from under someone's nose because they didn't want to pay rent, but in a kind of obnoxious way, and sold all their stuff. Most squatters, you'll find political squatters, anyway, people who are squatters but as a life choice, and I'm talking about people who squat from place to place, they usually, in my experience, fairly decent people.
A life choice. Hold on a second. I'm hearing from people today who are homeless through no fault of their own. I'm hearing arguments on behalf of those people. But did you squat as a life choice?
Yeah, absolutely, as do many people.
So you could have afforded a home, but you didn't want one. Is that right?
Well, if you go down the renting route, I couldn't have afforded to buy a place. No, I've not.
You could have afforded to rent a place, could you?
To rent a place, a lot of people on low income or self-employed or just...
Let's talk about you. Could you have afforded to rent?
To rent? I mean, in London, no. Rents are very expensive. I don't think...
Could you have afforded to rent anywhere in the country? Were you working?
I guess so. I mean...
Were you employed, Gerry?
Before... Yeah, I've been employed. Before... a lot of the squatters I knew had proper jobs, by the way. That's not a joke. That's serious.
Yeah, well, let's talk about you, though. So you were squatting for 22 years.
Yeah, 22 years, yeah.
Rent-free for 22 years.
Rent-free, yeah. Mostly commercial buildings, I'll admit, yeah.
Right.
I couldn't have afforded to rent, but...
And, of course, you were doing that as a point of principle. You weren't doing that because you could get a roof over your head for nothing.
No,
it was the principle you believed in, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And I don't agree with people, like, stealing a flat from a tenant or you know, doing something nasty like renting a flat and then not paying the rent because they just can't be bothered. But that's a different thing. But people, there are two categories of squatters. Definitely homeless people who don't want to be homeless.
Let's get reaction to what you've said today. 0500 909 693. The law will change from midnight this evening for residential properties. People are squatting in residential properties. 0500 909 693. It's 4 minutes past 11.
This is the Paralympic Station.
BBC Radio 5 Live.
Morning to you, Stephen Nolan on 5 Live today. Should squatters face jail? From midnight tonight, squatting becomes a criminal offence in England and Wales with a maximum prison sentence of 6 months.
What happened to you is not okay, Jackie. And those squatters are giving squatting a bad name. If there's been a dialogue...
I'm not a charity, so if these people have problems, shouldn't they be going to the certain departments to get help?
If you're a squatter or you've been affected by squatting, 0500 909 693, you want to react to that last guy who's been squatting for some 22 years, pick up the phone. The text 85058. Let's get the latest news. Here's Claire McDonald.
From tomorrow, squatting in residential properties becomes a criminal offence in England and Wales. A conviction could mean a six-month jail sentence and a £5,000 fine. Critics say it would lead to a rise in homelessness. Paul Champlina is from Landlord Action.
I think something had to be done for the homeowner, and it's not just black and white, and that there's been these empty properties sitting around for 20 years and nothing's been happened. Yes, that is happening, but on a lot of the scenarios that we deal with, it's just dealing with everyday people that have got a property that they're renovating or had to move out, and we've had to issue proceedings. So, yes, we do welcome the move.
The exiled Russian businessman Boris Berezovsky has lost his High Court battle with the Chelsea owner Roman Abramovich. The 66-year-old was seeking more than £3 billion in damages, accusing the 45-year-old billionaire of intimidating him into selling his stake in a lucrative Russian oil company. Here's our Moscow correspondent, Daniel Sanford.
This is all about how Russia sold off its enormous state assets during the 1990s when the state coffers were empty, and how a few select billionaires managed to profit from that. In this case, in particular, about how Roman Abramovich made a small fortune out of buying an oil company at a knockdown price, and Boris Berezovsky's role in that as his political fixer inside the Kremlin.
Loads of your texts coming in on squatting this morning. I squatted during the early 90s, says this texter, Sam in Bath, when many homes were repossessed by the banks. This law is designed to protect the banks when the new wave of repossessions take place. I'm not a homeowner and taxpayer and still support squatting. Rachel, squatters make me furious. I worked hard to get my mortgage and to keep paying it. Why do these people think they should get a house for free? Bill in Cambridge, it doesn't appear that squatters are in the whole middle class. It's a choice, not a necessity. It does appear to middle class, says Bill. Mark in London, what a prat. It's self-indulgent and selfish people like your guests that have put this country in the mess it's in. And finally, Hal in Cambridge, squatting is the perfect big society activity. Government can't afford to solve the homeless problem, so business, councils and communities have to step in. Empty houses are the perfect place to house the homeless and it keeps benefit claims down. Cameron, by his own philosophy, should be legalising squatting, not criminalising it. 0500 909 693. Emily is in North London. Morning, Emily.
Oh, hello, good morning.
Hello there, you're a squatter.
Yes, I am. I have been for 7 years.
The law is going to change for you tonight.
Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, this is one of the points I wanted to discuss, and I discussed this with your researcher. About 3 years ago, we had to sort of make a decision to repair the roof. Now, I had a word with a solicitor, a very, very good solicitor, and he suggested that I actually draw up a licence to occupy in order to get around it, in order to make sure. I mean, with squatters, you're not supposed to sort of have like free gas, free electric and everything else. But the property that we're living in is a grade 2 listed building and it needed repairs, which is on the roof. And the insurance that we had covered wasn't prepared to, obviously, if anything happened, cover us. So we had to make the decision to get this license to occupy drawn up. The owners actually live abroad and they are actually like an overseas company in investment. So that's what we did. We actually wrote a letter followed by license to occupy, and that's how we got around it. Now, we've been there 7 years. They really are not interested in the property. It's just more or less like an investment, perhaps, you know, for 10 years, 20 years, who knows? We don't know.
And you work, Emily, do you?
Sorry?
You work? You're employed, are you?
I'm employed, but very, very low income.
Okay.
I'm actually a nurse, so I earn very little.
And you have no choice but to squat. Is that your position?
Well, no, it wasn't a position. It's a property that my friend and I pass more or less every single day on our way to work. We thought, you know, this is getting ridiculous. We see this property is empty, and it's been empty for a while because we checked with the neighbours. Prior to that, it was actually empty for 5 years. And we've been there 7 years. So, I mean, God knows what the property might have been like in that length of time. But it was an absolute eyesore when we moved in. We made that decision. And you wouldn't think that the property has been squatted.
I'm just asking the question, Emily, about your ability to pay, because some of the others this morning have been arguing to me that we should be sympathetic towards homeless people who cannot put a roof over their head and would be on the street but for their ability to squat. And I just wonder, therefore, why you don't feel a moral imperative to rent somewhere that you could that you could afford, and therefore, if you believe in the principle of squatting, allow homeless people who couldn't afford a roof over their head to squat in the property that you are in.
I've got my sympathies with the homeless and people that need properties, but what I have a very big gripe about is the actual government. It's not a criminal offence. We're not going to be criminalised into squatting. It's not a criminal offence. They're making it a criminal offence.
It will be
it's
tonight.
Well, not really, because you had a caller earlier. You discussed in regards to a person unknown, and we've actually gone away. We've actually done the right route about it, where we have contacted the owner, who's overseas, got no interest in the property whatsoever. It's just an investment or a tax haven for them, just to buy property and hold on to it. And we've made the decision only because of the insurance, which is the building insurance, and we had to obviously get the building intact in order to live in.
Let me speak to John in Cumbria this morning as well. Morning, John.
Good morning.
What do you think, John?
Well, I've been a letting agent both in Manchester and Cumbria for over 25 years, and I've handled hundreds of cases of squatters and other similar type things. And my experience of the type of people who are actually the people squatting is not the sort of downtrodden poor that people give the impression of. I mean, just to give you an example of the very last one I dealt with, when they eventually did leave, I mean, we must have removed £20,000 worth of alcohol containers, takeaway containers, drug paraphernalia. I mean, you know, I can't afford to have a takeaway every night for my tea. And this was in a house where, you know, there was a working cooker and a working fridge. It was a student accommodation. The students were away for the weekend. It was a property that belonged to a landlord for whom this property was their pension. You know, it was the thing they'd worked hard for to save up and buy that was to provide them with that little bit of extra comfort in their old age. And these people just basically stole it and took it off them. And, you know, they were earning enough money between them to pay the rent on really quite a substantial property.
Well, they would argue, what's the point? They would argue, what's the point of a property sitting empty, abandoned
Absolutely.
For many years?
It was
empty for the period between the end of May and the 1st of September, while because students, it's that very nature of student properties that that's how they
you
are.
You want to talk to John, Emily?
I really despise, you know, you've got your people rights of who the caller is, and, you know, the government. I mean, the property is empty.
You're just selfish and lazy. That's your problem.
I'm not selfish and lazy.
You can't be bothered to get off your fat ass.
You're the one that is over and above what the property should actually be letting for. I'm quite glad that I'm actually in a property that I'm squatting. I'm quite glad.
Because you are stealing from somebody else. You are the absolute pitch. You are stealing.
It's a tax haven.
You are no different than a pickpocket.
The government friend that we rent.
You are the worst type of person.
It's everybody else who supports you.
Hold on, I want to be able to hear you.
I'm very pleased about it.
Okay, John. 1 second, Emily. Let me hear from John. Go on, John. You can speak to Emily, but I don't want you shouting over each other. Speak to Emily directly. One second, Emily.
You're just very greedy.
Emily, let me chair this. I will let you respond, but I want John to speak to you first. Go on, John.
Listen, ordinary, decent, hard-working people who pay for their own things are getting sick to death of these people who are making excuses for their selfish and lazy behaviour. They make their own choices about what they do with their money, the same as everybody else does.
But you can't call her lazy, John, can you, if she's a nurse?
Well, my daughter's a nurse. You know, they buy their own property. They save up. They do everything they have to do.
I want to be able to hear you both. Stop.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Stop, John.
Outrageous.
Well, Emily, he's entitled to air his view. If you let me hear him, then we'll hear yours. Now, Emily,
John, one second.
Go on, Emily. Emily, let me hear from you.
Honest people. Who the hell does he think he is? That's how you think he is.
Well, he's a letting agent and he's giving you his view.
You don't know me from nowhere. Most people that are squatting are squatters like myself. We earn a decent living. Now, if I wasn't in that property, it would be derelict. It would be an eyesore to the community. It would be absolutely unbearable for people. People that want to try and buy their houses or even let the properties out.
That's just not true. You know it's not true.
You're just making excuses. I live in London.
Okay, Emily, I want to leave the last word to you.
No, I'm just saying it's a criminal offence for empty properties. And as long as there's empty properties, good luck to squatters. You occupy them. Good for you. And if you want to get around the law, you approach this way, get a license to occupy, put your details on it.
Emily, I don't think we should be advising people as to how to get around the law, Emily. I'm not comfortable with that. It's 22 minutes past 11. Thank you, Emily. Thank you, John. Here's the latest on the roads with Michelle. Well, it's all kicking off today over squatting on the programme. 0500 909 693. The law will change tonight. It will become a criminal offence. At the moment, it's a civil offence. And you've got to apply to a civil court to remove squatters. It'll become a criminal offence from tonight. 0500 909 693. Your reaction to that exchange you've just heard is 25 past 11. Loads of your reaction about squatting today. Ian in South Wales says, Stephen, does this mean that if I'm not using my car, someone else can use it and not give it back? Loads of reaction to the nurse Emily, who's been squatting for the last 7 years. She's a nurse. She squats. Gavin in Scotland. Emily, she's saving the property? Rubbish, says Gavin. She's getting free accommodation. I don't have a problem with homeless occupying property until they're asked to leave. However, most of your squatters today are anarchists. They're looking out for themselves under the pretext of making a political statement. Most people disagree with the government at some time, but deal with it within the law and deal with it democratically. Another, Peter in Liverpool, on Emily. Nurses are on double the minimum wage, more than I'm on. I'm a homeowner, so it's just dodging paying rent and the mortgage. Paul says, I'm a milkman. I see lots of boarded up properties, some for years. Carl says, my advice to Nurse Emily, go and live in a nice socialist country like North Korea, where you'll be so much happier. And Mike in Chester, Stephen, I'm a socialist. I work, but I've got a low income. I wouldn't dream of squatting. I think, however, that it is morally wrong for properties to remain empty. Funding should be made available to compulsory purchase these properties and make them available for rent at a reasonable amount. 0500 909 693, the text 85058. 9 minutes to midday, 0500 909 693. Shall we end the programme talking about our top story, squatting? The government is to change the law. The law will come into effect later tonight. It will change the offence of squatting from a civil case to a criminal case. Michael is in Huddersfield. Owen's in London. Hello to you, Michael. Hello, Owen. Morning to you both.
Morning.
Michael, let's start with you. You're a solicitor. You specialise in property litigation. You must have been through this quite often then.
Yeah, absolutely. And the point that made me give you a call this morning was one of the callers earlier on made a fairly dismissive comment about landlords just being able to nip down the county court effectively within 24 hours and receive a remedy.
Doesn't work like that, Michael, does it?
Not in the real world, I'm afraid, no. If you can get a claim issued within 24 hours, you'd be quite lucky. And of course, the fundamental point here is that many of these people who suffer victims of this crime, essentially, are people who do not have a great deal of resources. And the cost of seeking a possession order is going to be something in the order of probably £1,500 to £2,000 if everything runs smoothly.
And I know, Michael, the law is going to change, but isn't it the case that they have also to prove at the moment that these people broke into the houses?
Well, no, the simple fact is that if you own property, whether it be a house, whether it be commercial property, whether it be land, if somebody is upon that property without your permission then they're, or a licence, then they're a trespasser. And you're entitled to an order of the court removing them and to damages to the extent that they have caused you loss. But ultimately, you have to prove that they are a trespasser. And the points were made earlier on about issuing proceedings against persons unknown. I mean, that's a simple practical exercise in that if you don't know the name of somebody, how can you sue them? So the court enables you to issue proceedings against persons unknown to remove them from property. But ultimately, you have to issue that claim. You have to, the papers have to be served at the property. There has to then be a period of time for them to respond, and then the court will there will be a hearing. So in practical terms, if you can get that through in a week by speaking to the courts, and the courts are like very much of the public sector are under-resourced and very difficult to push
okay.
things through quickly.
Michael,
in practical terms, it just doesn't work.
Thanks, Michael. Let me hear from Owen today. Go on, Owen.
Yeah, my issue was really that it's not a case of trustafarians or people who want to have a hip lifestyle, and it's not about necessity. There are two shops in North London on a busy main street which have been squatted in for the last 2 years by squatters, and they haven't even bothered to open the shop and just some kind of trade. They've just closed it enough and closed the shop. If they needed an income, or it was some kind of necessity, or they wanted to give something back, they could open the shop and run a business.
Finding it hard to hear you, Owen, but thank you. Alison in Brighton, Katie with us as well. Hello, Alison.
Oh, good morning.
Hello. Morning. Hello, Katie.
Hey, good afternoon.
Now, Katie, you've been squatting for 10 months.
That's correct, yeah.
Why?
Well, for me, unlike for many squatters, it wasn't a lifestyle choice. It was a lifeline. It was a last resort before being forced to sleep on the street myself. I was sharing a flat with my partner. The relationship became extremely abusive and violent. I endured several months of violence as I had nowhere else to go. And I spoke to Women's Aid, to my local housing authority, I spoke to Crisis and Shelter, and as I was not priority need, they wouldn't be able to offer me accommodation.
And so is it a commercial property you're in?
No, it's a residential.
And have you any idea who the owner is?
Yeah, we have regular contact with the owner. I was just listening to the lawyer you had talking. I think one of the problems is that when they realise squatters are in a building, they just slap them with a court order. I think it's actually a lot more logical to speak to the squatters and say, you know, they'd like the building back and make some sort of agreement rather than going through courts.
What has your landlord said?
Oh, he's really fine. He said he's actually quite happy because it stops unwanted sort of people in the building, stops kids vandalising it. The amount of times we've had groups of kids try and break in, they can come in and smash things up. So we're preventing any damage to the building.
So you're there with your landlord's consent, be it retrospective. He hasn't asked you to leave.
No.
It's interesting.
I believe the ownership of the property is in dispute and it's in court at the moment. So they're awaiting for that to be resolved.
And what's your situation, Alison?
Well, I'm not a squatter, actually. I was just phoning up with basically objection to the principles which the government rolling out this changeover from the Civil to the Criminal Act. I really empathise and I have a lot of understanding for the situation that your previous caller, who, sorry, I didn't catch.
But
as far as I'm concerned, in this country, no person should be homeless. And if the government intend to change this law, then they should provide an amnesty for the people in the cases of, like, Katie, who are genuinely in need of housing, and they should house these people on an emergency basis and then on a temporary basis.
But to find genuine need...
I think the lady before us defined genuine need, and she was refused by the council or any other organisation to provide her with any adequate housing, and therefore was left no choice.
And do you think just because someone, let's leave Katie's case aside for a moment, do you think that someone, we've heard from someone who has been squatting for 22 years on this programme today and was employed some of that time?
I don't defend the actions of all squatters, but I, as an individual, have serious objections to the way that civil society is set up, and I believe many people are forced, due to low incomes and difficult situations in their life, to take actions which are not necessarily accepted by all of society, but which shouldn't be kind of deemed as inappropriate or, you know, I believe that everyone has the right to have housing, basically, and I think that if you're failed to be provided that on your income or by society if you need it, then you have the right to take your own actions, don't you?
You could say the same about food, couldn't you? But there's very few people asking for the decriminalisation of stealing in a shop.
I think that it's a lot easier for organisations to provide food and ensure that people don't go hungry. But housing is a key issue in this country. And considering, you know, we're a fully developed nation, we shouldn't have any homeless people. If the government brings this in, they should provide an amnesty. And anyone who presents themselves as a local authority as a squatter and has needs should be housed. And that's the way to separate people who are allegedly, you know, kind of manipulating the system and doing it even though they're employed, and then you can separate people who do it as a
political
act.
But Katie, if someone is employed or someone has the means to pay for accommodation, do you think that they're entitled to squat?
I think they wouldn't squat.
Well, we've heard from people today on this programme who are employed and do squat. We heard from a nurse today who's squatting. A nurse!
Yeah, in fact, one of my housemates was a nurse as well. The trouble is, it's all about how many hours you get. I'm a teacher, but I don't have a contract. So when I'm needed, I get hours, and when I'm not, I don't. So some weeks I have no work, and some weeks I do. For many people, try living on the minimum wage in London, it's an absolute nightmare.
Why don't you squat?
Why don't I squat?
Yeah. If you believe in it, why don't you do it?
I am squatting.
Sorry, I think you're talking to me.
Alison in Brighton, sorry. Katie. Alison, why don't you squat?
Well, I actually live with my grandmother and help look after her, and I have a child, so I don't necessarily feel that it's an appropriate environment due to the enforcement of, you know, laws against us. It's not a stable environment for my child. But however, if I was homeless, then I would squat rather than live on the street with my child every time. There's no choice as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, no, I understand that, Katie. And Alison, thank you for talking to us today. Sheila's coming next. Thank you for your company.